This morning we continue our series on faith. The title of today's sermon is The Danger of Weak Faith. So this morning, today is a day set apart for honest and soul-searching reflection. Today where many will be confronted with difficult truth, not to cause discomfort for its own sake, but because the truth itself is often uncomfortable. Amen? So this morning, if you find this message stepping on your toes or unsettling your spirit, I want you to know that this is the work of the Holy Spirit pressing on us to examine ourselves deeply. We find ourselves living in a time where the church, the body of Christ, is faltering. And this failure is not due to external pressures alone. Yes, there are challenges in the world, the political unrest, the economic uncertainty, and the moral decay all around us. But these external factors are not the primary reason why the church is struggling. The heart of the problem lies within us, the people of God. Amen? We've allowed our faith, the very foundation of our relationship with God, to weaken, to become fragile, hesitant, and ineffective. Our faith, which should be a blazing fire, has become a flickering ember that is barely glowing and is on the verge of extinction. And this weak faith is more than just a personal issue. It's a public disgrace before our holy and powerful God. It shouts a message to the heavens. It says, God, I don't trust you. And this is no small offense. It's a direct challenge to the throne of grace, a betrayal of the covenant relationship that God has established with his people. Amen? Amen. And Jesus asked a prophetic and profound question in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 18, verse 8b. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? See, that question is not merely historical. That question, it echoes down through generations, and it rings loudly in our ears today. It's a divine challenge demanding not a passive response, but a radical reawakening. Amen? See, faith is not a casual belief or a superficial hope. It is a deep, abiding trust that leads to action, perseverance, and unwavering commitment. Jesus is asking, when I return, will I find this kind of faith in you? Will he find this kind of faith in us? This question calls us to examine the state of our hearts honestly. It calls us to repent of our apathy and our complacency. Amen? See, this is not the hour to sleep spiritually, to numb ourselves with distractions or excuses. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 declares, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Church, it is time for us to wake up, to weep over our shortcomings, to fast, and to ask God earnestly to fall on our faces in humility and desperation, crying out for mercy and a fresh outpouring of power. Amen? The church is not dealing with a minor illness. It's confronting a life-threatening spiritual condition. Lukewarm faith is terminal unless we cry out to the great physician and plead for his intervention. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 issues a clear warning. "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Church, we have compromised, we have lowered our standards, and we have settled for a faith that is easy and comfortable. And this complacency is offensive to God, and it grieves the Holy Spirit. So it is time to rise up, to shake off the spiritual lethargy, and to fan the flames of the embers into true, passionate faith that honors God. Amen? So if we want to grow, if we want to fulfill the mission that has been entrusted to us, our faith must be strong, vibrant, and courageous. So we find ourselves standing at a pivotal crossroads. And the decisions that we make today will determine the future of this church and our impact upon the world. This church has boldly declared the desire to change the world, and it has vowed to do whatever it takes. But words alone will not bring transformation. Our commitment must be matched with faithfulness, boldness, and action. And this brings us to the first truth that we must confront. Weak faith is an insult to God's character. We must grasp that weak faith is more than just a personal struggle. It is an insult to the very character of God. Amen? When our faith falters, when we doubt God's promises or hesitate to trust Him fully, we are essentially accusing God of untruthfulness. And yet 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 reminds us, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us." To doubt God is to challenge His character, to deny His sufficiency. And when we walk in weak faith, we do something even more dangerous. We force God into a box of our own design. We shrink Him down to the size of our fears, our logic, and our past disappointments. We define what He can and cannot do based on what we have seen or experienced and not on what He has declared. And Psalm 78:41 warns us of this exact danger. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. When our faith is weak, we reduce God to fit into our comfort zones. But God will not be confined. God, He is limitless, and He desires to do limitless things through His people. Amen? When our faith is weak, we're saying, in effect, that God cannot be trusted, that His word is unreliable, His promises empty, and His nature uncertain. And this is not just a minor slip. It is a serious offense against God's holiness and His integrity. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Faith is the foundation upon which our entire relationship with God rests. Amen? See, faith is not optional, and it is not secondary. It is essential. To doubt God is to challenge His character and to deny His sufficiency. When we allow fear, anxiety, and attempts to control circumstances to dominate us, we testify to the world that God is not enough. And this misrepresents God to those who watch us. Now let me be clear this morning, the world is watching the church. And weak faith makes God's power and love appear limited and ineffective to those who are lost in the world. Amen? So if we're serious about making an impact, we must cultivate faith that is not just a fleeting feeling, but a settled truth, our trust rooted deeply in the unchanging nature of God. This morning, consider Romans chapter 8, verse 32. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God gave us the ultimate proof of His love and faithfulness. He gave us His Son. What more can He possibly do to earn our trust? To doubt after such a sacrifice is to spit in the very face of Calvary itself. Amen? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 reminds us, "God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do?" We truly believe these words, why do we so often hesitate and fail to be obedient? Why do we falter and freeze when God calls us to act? See, our weak faith not only dishonors God, but limits the incredible blessings He desires to pour out through each and every one of us. Even more, it causes us to forget who He truly is. Because weak faith forgets the power of God. Another tragic consequence of weak faith is spiritual amnesia, a forgetting of the power of the God we serve. How quickly we forget who God is. The God who created the heavens and the earth by the sheer power of His word. The God who brought Egypt to its knees through 10 devastating plagues. The God who walked unharmed in a fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And despite all of this, we often behave like orphans disconnected from the power of the Father. We act as if our circumstances are insurmountable and beyond God's reach. And Jeremiah 32:17 declares, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched your arm. There is nothing too hard for you." There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too hard for God. Amen? Yet weak faith treats even the smallest problems as mountains too high to climb. We forget, or worse, we misrepresent God. We project our limitations upon Him. And that is what happens when weak faith puts God into a box. He becomes in our minds no more powerful than our last solution, our last miracle, or our own understanding. But Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 declares, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding." See, God's power is not limited to what we've already seen. Amen? And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 reminds us, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Oh, hallelujah. If He healed the sick and provided miracles in the past, He is still able to do that today. If He moved the immovable in the past, He can still shake the world today. Amen? Our God's power, it has not diminished. We cannot claim to want to change the world while we walk in fear, doubt, and hesitation. We must believe again, and our faith must be strong again. We must live as those who serve the Almighty God, the all-powerful Creator, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Faith in God's power is the fuel for our missions. It is the source of our courage, our boldness, and our perseverance. And without it, our efforts are weak and ineffective. And as faith falters in the individual, the church as a whole begins to suffer. So weak faith results in a powerless church. Faith is not only personal, it shapes the entire community of believers. Amen? When individual faith grows weak, the entire church suffers. Weak personal faith leads to a powerless collective witness. Amen? Where is the power of the early church today? Where are the signs, the wonders, the boldness, and the miracles that marked the first century believer? The truth is, the lack of apostolic power today may be directly tied to our faintness in our faith. Because our faith is a pure, or pale imitation of what the first century church had. Acts chapter 4, verse 33 tells us, "And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." We say we want the world to change, but where are the fruits of those words? comfort and convenience have often replaced conviction and sacrifice. Strategies and programs have displaced the Spirit's dynamic power. So if we desire to grow and fulfill the Great Commission, our faith must be courageous, strong, and relentless. Stephen wasn't an apostle, yet Acts chapter 6, verse 8 says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people." See, Stephen's faith, it made all the difference. And if we have strong faith, it will make a difference as well. Amen? And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 warns us, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." So let us not be lacking when God returns. Amen? Let him find faith in us. Faith that stands firm in pressure and persecution. Because when faith weakens, disobedience follows. So weak faith breeds disobedience. Weak faith inevitably leads to disobedience. And every sin can be traced back to disobedience or to unbelief. We see Eve, she disobeyed because she did not trust in God's warning. Israel wandered and missed their inheritance for years because they doubted God's promises. And we often find ourselves hesitating and refusing to obey God's word. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19 says, "So we see that they could not enter in because of their unbelief." And unbelief, it builds barriers where God has called us to walk freely. And James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 declares this, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So be doers of the word. Obedience flows from faith. If we do not act, it means that we have not truly believed. And we see that James takes it even further in James chapter 2, verse 14 through 20. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to him, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." See, dead faith says the right words, but it does nothing. Dead faith agrees with God mentally, but refuses to follow him practically. And so James, he doesn't let us hide behind religious language. Verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is a God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Church, even the demons have accurate theology and they don't obey. And neither do we if our faith never takes shape in action. And that's why James chapter 4, verse 17 confronts us so sharply. "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Knowing what God requires and choosing in action is not just weakness, it is rebellion. Faith must move us into action or it becomes cloaked in passivity. Amen? Jesus' question in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 cuts to the very heart. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Jesus says, "Why call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say?" So you need to let that question echo in your spirit this morning. Let it stir your heart until obedience becomes your natural response and the evidence of your faith. Because without that kind of trust, we begin to lose the blessings God intended, including joy and peace. Because weak faith robs us of joy and peace. See, weak faith is not simply a private struggle, it is a thief. It robs the believer of joy, it steals peace from the soul, and it clouds our vision of God's faithfulness. When our trust in the Lord is frail, every trial feels like the end. Every delay feels like denial, and every silence feels like abandonment. Weak faith causes us to live as spiritual orphans instead of beloved children. We begin to interpret God through our circumstances instead of interpreting our circumstances through God's promises. Amen? And in doing so, we forfeit the deep well of joy and the unshakable peace that God Himself has promised us. And this is why strong faith is not optional. It is essential for the fullness of life that God intends for all of His children. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we recognize, church, that that is not a small promise? It is believing through an active, vibrant faith that joy and peace fills our hearts. Not a peace that comes and goes with changing conditions, but a supernatural stability rooted in the very nature of God, the God of hope. The problem is not the availability of God's blessings, but our capacity to receive them through faith. Too often we live beneath our inheritance. We live burdened and anxious. Not because God has failed us, but because we have failed to trust Him deeply and completely. We try to carry only what He can carry. And when we dare to believe, really believe, well, God, He meets us with power, fills us with peace, and plants hope that overflows. Weak faith builds walls around our hearts, making it hard for the river of joy and peace to flow. But strong faith, on the other hand, well, that opens the floodgates. It causes us to walk through trials with a song, to sleep in storms with peace, and to smile even in uncertainty because we know who holds our future. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." See, perfect peace is not the absence of trouble, but the presence of trust. Amen? God's promise is not that the storms won't come, but that our peace will remain if our minds are fixed upon him. When we nurture strong faith, peace becomes a permanent resident in our souls and not a temporary visitor. So let us not be content with momentary relief when we can have abiding peace. Amen? Let us fix our minds on Him. Not occasionally, but consistently, in every moment, with every breath, as we look on the One who has never failed. And this is where perfect peace is found. But what if your faith isn't there yet? What if it is still weak? The church, weak faith is not final. It can be strengthened. Amen? If you feel you're weak or your faith is weak, don't despair. Because you're not alone and you're not beyond hope. Scripture is filled with stories of people who stumbled in their faith, people who doubted, feared, and failed, yet they were restored by God. Abraham doubted God's promise about a son, and he tried to fulfill it himself. Moses, he questioned his calling. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and Thomas refused to believe until he touched the wounds. But the hope that we find in all of these stories is that none of them stayed in that place. They brought their unbelief to God, and he met them with mercy and with power. So there is a pathway from weak faith to strong faith. Amen? It begins with honesty, continues with God's word, and is strengthened by prayer. See, God, he doesn't despise your struggle. He invites you into transformation. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, we see it says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And this prayer is one of the most honest confessions in the Scripture. It's not a contradiction. It is a reflection of the tension that we often live in. Amen? We believe, and yet there are areas where our doubt lingers. The good news is Jesus does not turn away from the struggling soul. He moves toward it with compassion and with strength. And if you cry out, he will answer. Amen? If you cry out, he will answer. Amen? See, God is not looking for perfect faith. He is looking for persistent faith. Faith that cries out and admits weakness, that asks for help. And that is faith that he honors. And that is faith that he strengthens. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith is not static. And it grows by exposure to the truth. Every time you read the word, every time you meditate upon the word, every time you speak it aloud, you are feeding your faith. Doubt starves in the presence of divine truth. So if you want to be strong in faith, you must be strong in the word. Amen? A starving spirit cannot stand in the day of trouble. So feed your faith daily. Let the word be your nourishment, your guide, and your anchor. The more you consume God's truth, the more your confidence in his will deepen. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Church, we are not helpless. We have tools and we have weapons. Amen? We build our faith through prayer, especially Spirit-led prayer. When we pray in the Spirit, we align our hearts with heaven. We sharpen our spiritual senses. We stir up our faith like a fire that's been waiting for breath. So fast, worship, and isolate yourselves with God. Wrestle in prayer like Jacob, who refused to let go until his blessing came. You're not trying to earn your faith. You're just activating what God has already given to you. Amen? See, strong faith isn't just for the pastor or spiritual giant. It is for every believer who dares to seek, ask, and knock. Strengthen your faith, not just for yourself, but for the world around you. Your faith is a light in someone else's darkness. So now it is time to decide what kind of faith is going to define your life. So I offer you a call to action, to wake up and to believe. We've come to a moment of decision. We cannot remain idle or indifferent. Jesus asked, "When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" And that question, it echoes today. When he looks at your life, your prayers, and your priorities, will he find vibrant faith or quiet resignation? Will he find holy expectation or habitual doubt? We live in a time where passive Christianity is no longer sufficient and the age of lukewarm faith is over. The world needs to see a church full of radical trust, contagious joy, and fierce love. Amen? The world needs to see people who believe God's word above the news, above their feelings, and above their fears. See, faith is not a private virtue. It is a public testimony. It shapes how we love, how we give, how we serve, and the world is watching. Will they see Jesus in you? 2 Corinthians 13:5a. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Church, this isn't a suggestion. It's a command. We must test the quality of our faith just like gold is tried by the fire. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 warns us, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Judgment does not begin with the world, it begins with us. Amen? The church must lead the way in repentance, holiness, and unshakable faith. And if we fail to stand, how will the world see the truth? What do you rely upon when things fall apart? What is your first response? Panic or prayer? Excuses or expectancy? This examination is not meant to condemn, but to awaken us. Amen? So let the Holy Spirit search you. Let Him reveal places of unbelief and complacency. It is time for each and every one of us to pray through the 139th Psalm. Search me, O God. And then we must respond with humility and obedience, strengthening what remains and returning to the faith that pleases God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. This is a sober warning, but it is also a gracious opportunity. If something is still alive, it can be revived. If there is even a flicker of faith, God can breathe on it. Amen. Strengthen what remains, fan the embers, and return to your first love. Let God restore your joy, your hope, and your vision. And if you have found yourself putting God into a box, if you tried to limit Him based on your fear, disappointment, or control, it is time to break that box wide open. Amen. God is not bound by your past, your logic, or your failures. He is the God who makes all things new. Oh, hallelujah. He is the one who calls the water out of rocks and life out of the grave. And today is not just a call to stronger faith. It's a call to unbox God and let Him be as big as He truly is. Don't let your fire go out. Don't settle for survival when God has called you to thrive in faith. Strengthen the things that remain. Wake up and believe. Let's be done with half-hearted faith and lukewarm prayers. Let us rise up strong, unshakable with our confidence, not in ourselves, but in the character and the promises of God. Let us walk like those who truly believe that God is who He says He is and that He will do what He has said that He will do. Let us no longer reduce God to fit our doubts. Let Him break the mold in us. Let your faith be a declaration that your God is limitless. Let your prayers be bold, your worship loud, and your obedience immediate. And when the Son of Man returns, may He find a people who refuse to put Him in a box, who believed in His power, trusted in His love, and walked by unshakable faith. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we recognize that sometimes our faith is so weak. And maybe our faith has been so weak for so long that we have formed a box to put You in. But this morning, I pray that You would search each and every one of us. That You would reveal those areas and where we have doubt, that we would give that to You. Father, today I pray that You would fan the embers of our faith, that it might become a blazing fire that will change the world. Our faith and our trust is a testimony in You. And my prayer this morning is that it would be a testimony that You would be well pleased in. That when Your Son returns, that He wouldn't have to ask the question, will He find faith upon the earth, because He would find a faithful people. And so this morning, we lift this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, if you find that your faith has weakened, that it has faltered, today is the day to repent. Today is the day to cry out and say, Lord, forgive me in my doubt. Strengthen what remains. Because we serve a God that fits in no box of our creation, who can do anything through His power. Amen? So this morning, let us stand and sing.